You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I'm thrilled to have Amalia on with us. She is a world-renowned chef. She wrote this cookbook that I have. She signed it. She's one dynamite person that everyone needs to know. So welcome, Amalia.
Thank you, Renee. It's great to be in your podcast today.
Yeah, I can't wait because we've got a lot of stuff to cover. But first, tell me about you have this little thing on your oven. Tell me, what is that?
So this is my kitchen witch. I got this puppy in Spain. And you can buy them in the US as well. But I fell in love with it because it goes with the colors of my kitchen. But the story behind it, a short version of this is that if you have a kitchen witch in your kitchen, she can prevent you from burning food.
Oh God, I gotta get one.
The problem is that it hasn't worked that well for me.
Oh, darn it. I'm still gonna get one because it's interesting conversation point. And I need all the help.
It's a joke, by the way.
I need all the help I can get in the kitchen, for sure. It's not my strong suit. All right, Amalia, you shared your Amalia's easy cocktail recipe with us. And she's going to walk me through how to make it. So let's get started. I've got everything I need.
Awesome.
Salt the rim first with the chili powder?
Well, you can start there if you want, but I can tell you that this is a very easy thing. Look at this. This is a martini shaker.
Yep.
And this is not just for martinis. This is for whatever you want it to be, right?
Right.
You could even make salad dressing on this if you wanted to. Okay, because, you know, it shakes, right? And then it pours out. So this cocktail, with all the ingredients that I gave you, you put everything in here, and then you shake it like a martini with ice, and then you pour it out. And because the ice usually stays behind, if you want to have more ice, then I just added more ice after that. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
So then the way to dress it up is, if you want it to look festive, then you rub some lime or some agave or some honey around the rim of the glass so that you make it wet to make whatever you want stick to it. It can be sugar, it can be chili powder, it can be herbs, it can be whatever you want. So that's the idea. And that's the cocktail. And it's really easy. And it's called Amalia's Cocktail. So this is my own recipe because I make my own dishes, I make my own drinks, and this is something that I came up with because when I am working, I'm always looking for ways to stay hydrated, and I drink a lot of water, but every now and then I gravitate towards something fun, and of course I'm not going to be drinking tequila when I'm working, but you know, when I am entertaining or I'm doing something like this, then you know, you can do a little splash of tequila. You can do a little splash of any kind of spirit that you want. But the other thing about this drink is that you don't have to have alcohol with it.
Right.
So it's good without alcohol, and it's good with a little bit of a kick. How about that?
I love it.
With that, salud. This is salud. You haven't made your drink yet.
Yeah, I'm going to. So I put the chili, I rimmed it with lime juice and I put the chili powder on. Now I have my shaker and I'm going to pour everything in. So I've got 6 ounces of soda water and...
Don't worry about measuring anything. Just kind of eyeball it.
I just got hooked on this Topo Chico stuff.
Yeah, that's good. I use this.
Yeah.
So whatever you have, sparkling water, you know, that's good too.
But this stuff is from Mexico, and I guess Coca-Cola purchased it, and now they're finally distributing everywhere. I'm addicted to it. So, okay, so I've got 6 ounces of the soda water in. Yep. I have 2 teaspoons brown sugar I'm putting in, 2 tablespoons fresh squeezed OJ. Oh, and then I have lime juice, 2 tablespoons fresh lime. And then I'm going to do, I got my favorite, Casamigos.
Tequila?
Yeah, I love tequila.
And then some ice, and that's it. Then you shake it and you pour it.
All right. Oh, yeah, I forgot to put the ice in.
That's okay. You can put it at any time.
All right, I'm putting the ice in. And I can't believe you just gave me an idea. I would never think to use my shaker to make salad dressing, but that's phenomenal.
Don't tell anybody that. Don't tell a bartender that. The only thing you have to remember that is that if you use it for that, then you have to make sure that you wash it with hot water and lots of soap so that next time that you use it, you don't have residue, oil residue in it. Because if you leave oil residue in it, it can go rancid because we don't use the martini shaker on a regular basis, right? If it's not washed very well, you know, the next time you use it, you'll find out, smells like olive oil, rancid olive oil or something, right? Exactly. Now you shake it.
All right. Oh, I'm making a mess.
No, that's okay.
Oh.
And then you pour it.
What is happening today? Do I have the wrong top on here? Okay, we're pouring it in. We're straining it in.
There you go.
It looks delicious.
Yes, and you know what? I gave you two options here to make it sweet. The other option is piloncillo or panela, which is raw sugar cane. You can use that too. And it looks like this, but it also comes in a cone. It's kind of like, this is a loaf of raw sugar. This is very common in Latin cooking. You have to break it to measure it. So look, it's delicious and it tastes delicious as well. But you know, it's the closest thing to it is brown sugar.
Oh, so, and that's what I put in. Where would you find that, Amalia?
The grocery stores have a version of this and it looks like a cone. And it's called piloncillo or it's called panela. But if you go to a Latin American grocery store, then you're going to find more versions of it in different shapes. It comes from different countries in Latin America, mostly from the tropical Latin countries, you know, where sugarcane grows. And then it's packaged by individual makers. So it looks a little different. And sometimes it looks very dark like this one. And sometimes it looks a little lighter, but it's all panela, it's all piloncillo, and it's delicious. It tastes a little bit like molasses, but you know, I'll say a little better than, there's molasses in it, but it has its own very unique flavor. But the closest thing to it is brown sugar in terms of flavor and color, because the color is brown and it gives a brown tinge to the foods that you cook with or that you, you know, make drinks with. So another thing you can do with this drink, if you don't have the piloncillo, if you don't have the brown sugar, is you can use agave. Agave nectar comes from blue agave, which is the same base for making fine tequila. Mm-hmm. So then you're just combining the honey from the tequila with the tequila into the drink. And I happen to love, it's lower in calories, plus it's rated very high on the hypoglycemic index. So I just happen to like it because you put a little bit and a little goes a long way.
I love agave. Okay, I got to try the drink. You said salud? Oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, so we say salud in Latin America. Cheers, skull.
Salud.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear
Cheers.
You.
Salud.
Yum, this is delicious.
Excellent.
Yum.
It's very really simple. Good. You know, so you can create this with other juices. You can do grapefruit. You can do pineapple. You can do mango. You can do whatever you want with it. So, you know, it's meant to be built into another drink.
I love it. So I'm so thrilled that we get to have you on during Hispanic Heritage Month. How cool is that? But now you have traveled to over 80 countries and 7 continents. Tell me about that.
Well, this is something that my husband and I have had a passion for a long time. So we started this before, you know, we got married, and this was during our first career, international banking career, and world in our own way. My husband is from Denmark. I am from Guatemala, as you know. So we were both hungry to see the world, and we wanted to see a lot of it before we had children. So we started traveling, you know, in a year sometimes. And then as we got older and started making better money, then we could afford a little bit more. And then we started going on cruises. And cruises give you the opportunity to see many countries in one trip. Mm-hmm. So that's been a combination of cruises. It's been a combination of vacations that we've taken, tours that have included many countries at a time. So it's been a combination of things, but it's been a passion of ours and it continues to be. And we're just so bummed out that, you know, of course, now we can't travel. We had plans to travel twice this year, and we actually squeezed one trip out at the beginning of the year, and that was at the beginning of March, before things started getting serious here with COVID. So we went to Mexico City and then came back to the Twin Cities on March 8th. And guess what? After that, you know, things started changing dramatically.
Right. So walk us through, pretend I'm a kindergartner. When, what do you do for a living, Amalia?
Well, I use food as a platform to teach people about Latin American cultures. So I take a dish or two or three, and I tell stories behind that dish. And I connect that to the customs, the traditions, and the culture of each country. And so this allows me to explain the differences and the similarities in all the Latin countries.
I love it. And I know you were born in Guatemala City. Share us your journey and how you transitioned to the United States. And, you know, you've been super successful. So I'd love to hear your story.
Sure. I came to the U.S. as a young adult. Then I went to college and then to graduate school. I started my first career in international banking, and that's where I met my husband, Ken, who is from Denmark. And then we got married, and then we had a son named Jens. And when Jens was born, that was the time when I started having different thoughts about what I wanted to do with the rest of my career life. In my life in general. Children change the way you think. Children change the way you feel about things, and they become the number one priority. So family became the number one priority for me. So I left banking behind. I never went back after maternity leave. And that was a pivotal time for me. What next? So that gave me the opportunity to raised my son the way I was raised, at home with my parents and with my grandmother, who has been a very important figure in my life. And that gave me the opportunity to take my son to school, to cook breakfast for him every morning, to make him lunch, to take him to school, to pick him up, and to go to all his activities. But in my free time within all that, then I continued to stay connected to the business world, because after a long career in international banking, I crave that contact with other adults. I crave the challenge. I crave the, in general, just being with other people, mm-hmm. and just talking about different things other than, you know, cooking, right? So that was basically, you know, my journey early from Guatemala into the U.S. And initially I came to the Missouri area. I started in Kansas City and then St. Louis. And then I've been in the Twin Cities since 2001.
Got it. And when did you discover your passion for food and cooking?
So this is something that I've always had within me. I started learning the ropes of the kitchen with my maternal grandmother since I was about 8 years old. I used to help her in the kitchen. I used to go to the markets with her. I used to help her observe what she was doing. And little did I know then that I was learning kitchen lessons for life. So as I got older and I moved back to Guatemala City and then eventually moved back or moved to the States, then the distance of being separated from my home country, my family, my customs, my tradition, my food, really wanted, made me want it more. So I started cooking more, even in my years in banking, entertaining all the time. And I call it cooking up a storm on the weekends, crazy food, and so on. And believe it or not, you know, that lasted for a long time through my entire career. And then after that, you know the rest of the story. I left banking behind. And at that time, I started thinking about, now what? What's next for me? Mm-hmm. And so it was not like I turned off a switch and said, I'm going to start from zero, because I already had a very strong base cooking-wise. And I've always had that passion for food and for culture. And so, you know, that transition just gave me the opportunity to really think about it seriously and to dig deep and say, what really gives me pleasure? What really makes me tick? What is my purpose? And I saw a deeper purpose in cooking. More than just cooking, I saw an opportunity to learn more about my own culture, and then eventually more about other cultures in Latin America, and eventually more about, in general, you know, what cuisine can be in someone's career. You know, it can be a tool for starting a restaurant, it can be a tool for catering, it can be a tool for so many different things. So what I chose to do with it is, this is a tool for me, a platform to educate people about Latin American nuances. And also it has grown into, you know, this is also a good opportunity to express, you know, the familiarity of the Latin culture and connected to the US, connected to good social causes, I will say social justice, and in general, just creating goodwill around around the food.
I love it. And what an incredible gift your grandmother gave you by teaching you those foundations and around the kitchen when you were 8 years old. That's incredible.
Yes, and I think that part of it has to do with perhaps that I was receptive to it and that I liked it because, you know, I think that you have to like this kind of business to do well in it, because it's a hard business. And anyone that owns a restaurant will tell you that. It's a very hard business. It's non-stop work. But for me, what I do with food, what I do teaching about food and culture works well for me. And depending on the station or event that I am doing, sometimes it can be a lot of work. But you know, I don't really see it as work, because I am doing what I love to do.
I love that. So let's dive in there a little bit, because, you know, you're a diverse female chef. What are some of the greatest obstacles you faced, and how did you overcome them, Amalia?
You know, when I just came to the U.S., I realized lack of understanding about the Latin American culture. And whether I saw that as an obstacle, I don't think I did. I saw it more as a challenge. And the way I approach challenges is I either go over them, or I go around them, or I meet them right on with persistence. I don't get down. I just take the opportunity to learn what I can learn from that. But, you know, I am not the only one who has faced challenges or obstacles. You know, as a woman in being a minority, you know, I have been in the same situation other women have been, because other women, whether they come from a different culture or not, are still minorities. So we all face similar challenges.
Right. And I have the same attitude as you do. I just keep moving forward. Around, over, around, you know, I'm the same. So we have that in mind, similar, the attitude of how we face challenges and obstacles.
Yeah, and that can, you know, dictate whether you move forward or you remain stuck. And time goes by very quickly, and you don't have time to get stuck anywhere because, you know, things change very quickly, especially now. And then if you embrace, you know, your career, if you embrace your passion wholeheartedly, I think that that is a good driver to get you through a lot of these things.
Yeah, I agree. And I wanted to share. So my mom is deaf, and I grew up, you know, knowing American Sign Language and having to interpret for her. Well, there was a lot of times people wouldn't give her the time of day. So I saw her continuously to rise over these obstacles and challenges. And I think that helped equip me as a female entrepreneur to do the same. So I'm grateful that she gave me those skills as well. So Amalia, one of your speaking topics that you speak on is cultural understanding. Tell me more about that. Give me some insight.
Yeah, so I kind of touched on that previously, and that has to do with when I just left my homeland, Guatemala, and I came to the U.S., I found myself in a new home, in a new culture, in a new everything. But I also found myself in a situation in which I saw that Latino Americans are put into a bucket and not necessarily being appreciated or differentiated for, you know, what they are. Because yes, we may have similarities, the same language, some of us may look similar to each other, and we may have some customs and we may share some food-wise ingredients and so on, and maybe some dishes. But we are all very unique and in customs and traditions and in culture. So I experienced this early on that I am Guatemalan and I come from a beautiful country with deep history and wonderful food, and that is not well known yet still in the U.S. So I saw that as an opportunity to educate people about, you know, not everyone that is a Latino is cooking the same food. We all come from the same, from perhaps the same concept as being Latin Americans, but we are very unique when it comes down to especially food. And so I saw that as an opportunity to establish the mission for my business and take it to the next level. And the mission is to help organizations of all sizes develop a broader understanding and appreciation of Latin cultural nuances through healthy traditional gourmet cuisine. And I do that not only, you know, with food. Sometimes it's an opportunity to speak and bring food along. And so I make what I work, what I do work for the situation that I am in. So food has been a good thing for me. It has been a delicious opportunity to tell people more about the Latin culture and shed a good light on it.
I love that, because food is the way to anyone's soul, right? And their heart is food. Like food, I remember bringing donuts to the office when I worked in corporate America, and everyone loved that. Everyone can bond over food, and what a great vehicle you've used to help educate on the culture that you came from. That's awesome.
Food is a common denominator, whether you're here or in China. So, you know, when you sit at the table, food can be the platform to talk about any topic. Not just culture. You know, you can go in so many different directions, but then in the process, you get introduced to so many different new ingredients, new different recipes, and different ways of eating, different styles, different diets, and so on. So food lends itself to a lot of different interpretations.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reasons why I love traveling, is learning about the different foods that people eat all across the world. So I want to dive deep into, you know, you mentioned social injustice. There's a lot of talk going on, and I want to help educate our learners, or our listeners, excuse me. And one way we learn is from other people's perspectives, right? So can you share what things people innocently say or have said to you that you find hurtful or offensive, and why, so we can change how we, you know, address people at times?
You know, it's a good question. It's really not what perhaps anyone has said to me, but the way I see it is perhaps apathy, right? Perhaps I experienced this more early on in my career when I just came to the U.S. And apathy is an interesting thing, because people can choose to ignore you. And apathy is an attitude of I don't care. And apathy, it can be an attitude that I don't care because I don't understand who you are or where you come from. So, you know, to learn more about other cultures and not just the Latin culture, I think that if people are truly interested, is to make an intentional decision to learn more about the person, the culture, and all the customs, traditions, the foods, and what a better way to do it than through the food. But this is a way to get closer and get educated about, you know, what the culture is all about, and invite people, you know, to your table, whether that is a corporate table, whether that is an office table, or it's a kitchen table in your home, to have a conversation about a variety of topics, because you don't necessarily have to be talking about culture. By talking to someone else, you can learn so much through them. If they come from a different country, if they come from a different background, just having a conversation with them is going to, you know, change perhaps the perception that you may have had to begin with.
Absolutely. I love that concept, Amalia. The invite people to your table. That's the best. That's the best. I love that. So can you share an example of when your ethnic background was inappropriately used against you or hindered a goal?
You know, I don't really recall any strong or very long-lasting negative or any kind of language used towards me. What I do recall is the apathy that I mentioned early on. And rather than, you know, someone saying something to me or doing something to me, I think that in situations where I may have asked someone for advice or for help, and then being ignored, is probably stronger message than saying something to someone. Because at the end of the day, you may not remember what someone told you specifically, but you will always remember how someone has made you feel.
Exactly. And it's interesting you mention apathy, because I experienced that with my mom. People wouldn't even look her in the face if we were like at the register purchasing something. They would ignore her. And I used to get very upset with that because I said, she's a human being, treat her like a human being. Just because she can't hear, we are all equal, you know. And I used to get really fired up as a young girl. I remember that. But I didn't know that word before, apathy, definitely.
It is a very big word and a very important word, you know. Empathy is a very good word. It's the opposite, right?
Yep.
Empathy is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And this is what I mean when I say invite someone to your table. So the opposite of apathy is empathy. And the way you counteract apathy is with empathy by inviting someone to the table.
I love that. I love that. So Amalia, what can our listeners do to be better allies and support diversity and inclusion aside from inviting people to their table? Are there any other tips that you have?
I'll say be intentional again. During the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, I am invited to speak to many organizations, Fortune 100, 500, nonprofits, and so on. And the interest here is to learn more about the Latin culture, but, you know, to have an education, not only about the food, to have an education from someone that comes from that culture. So I'll say, you know, invite people to come speak to your company, to your organization, and make it a yearly event. Because one instance, one presentation is not going to cure it all. Because there are companies, employees come and go, and so they may have new people that haven't heard that story before. So at many of the organizations where I speak, I have been invited to speak, you know, several years in a row for that reason. And I am not repeating the same old message to all of them. I refresh my material and I always have something new and fun to share. And especially, I always have something new and delicious to share so that, you know. People not only want to listen, but, you know, they're looking forward to the food.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really powerful message for all of our, you know, hiring leaders or people who are listening to have people into your organization share these great messages. Yeah, that's a great tip as well. So where do you get your inspiration from? Is it still like your grandma or?
You know, my grandmother has been dead for a long time. And I spent a great deal of time with her when I was little. My parents got divorced, and I think that she's the best thing that could have happened to me. Because while my parents were trying to sort out their differences, my siblings and I ended up living with my grandmother. And then after a few years, then my siblings left. And for some reason, I stayed behind. I don't think it was by choice because I was very little. I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but I do remember that I was the only one that lived with her for the longest time. And this marked me in so many good ways because my grandmother was an entrepreneur. She had a store in this small town that catered to the needs of her community. And I used to help her with a variety of things besides going to the market and cooking with her. I was learning entrepreneurial lessons from her. You know, she was divorced and she never got remarried. And she was pretty much, you would say, self-sufficient. And, you know, we were not rich, but we never went hungry. And we always had good food to eat. And the best thing is that she was very strict. And she gave us very strong morals and she was a very loving grandmother. So I think that a lot of what I have and what I am, I owe to her. So I continue to see her as my light. And that is a very strong thing because I am very spiritual. And so I have a guiding light and she is my guiding light. But along the way, I've had, you know, being fortunate to be surrounded by people that I admire. I seek out people that I admire and that I have something to learn from. And I ask to be mentored. And in return, I offer to be mentored because I feel that we all have something to offer. But it's an opportunity to learn at a higher level. So my inspiration comes from a lot of different places, from a variety of mentors that I have had throughout my entire career, and from all the travels that my husband and I have done, from my husband's culture, having been to Denmark some 15 times, from my own country. I continue to travel to my country, you know, when I can. And I continue to rediscover that, you know, there is always new and unique in your own culture. You know, if you dig deeper, right? There's always something new and unique in your own community if you dig deeper. And I'm not shy. I reach out to people. I connect with people. And I think that those things have been really beneficial for me because at the end of the day, it's about relationships. It's about high quality relationships.
Absolutely. Cheers to that. And we have to cheers to your grandma. What's your grandma's name?
Melida.
Melida, cheers to you. She created an empire with you.
she's a joy. She's a gem. You know, as I said, she's my light. She's my North Star.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. So what's the best advice you've ever gotten?
The one that I remember, I've had a lot of good advice from a lot of different people, wanted or unsolicited or solicited. But the one that has really stuck with me is one that I received from a teacher here in the Twin Cities. And that is embrace who you are. Embrace your roots, because that will give you authenticity and that will give you a good road to follow.
Absolutely. I totally think that's great advice. I always tell my daughters, it's kind of like the Mr. Rogers, that there's only one you and we love you just the way you are. And, you know, it really shows, especially you, you're so authentic. And that comes across with your passion and all of that. So that's a great, definitely great advice you were given.
Thank you. And, you know, it's really important to stay focused on the work that you do and who you are, because there are so many distractions out there and you can get lost in the sea of who is doing this and that. Mm-hmm. That is not a good place to be. So if you start centered in, you know, who you are, then a path starts developing along the way that you can follow.
Yep, exactly. I love it. What can we celebrate with you this week? What are you celebrating? We got a cheers to that.
Wow, this has been an interesting year as we know it, but I've received many what I call blessings. I was recently recognized by the Small Business Administration as the 2020 Woman in Business Champion.
Cheers, congratulations!
Thank you. And then last week, I was also honored by the Minneapolis and Paul Business Journal with, I am one of the 2020 Women in Business honorees.
Congratulations. And I saw that. Congratulations. Thank you.
Yes. And just yesterday, I didn't know it, a neighbor sent this to my husband, the Tribune, the Tribune published an article about the SBA award, along with two other entrepreneurs that won different types of awards the same day. And in the context of the article, it's very special and very nice. So that was totally unexpected. So there's been a lot of good things happening despite of, you know, the highs and lows and everything that continues to happen in our community, in our country, and in the world because of the pandemic. But, you know, I have faith that we're going to get through this and that eventually there will be a vaccine and things will go back to maybe not the way they used to be, because this has marked all of us. This has changed all of us in the way we work, in the way we travel, in the way we behave, and so on. But I have faith that, you know, a good day will come back when we're able to travel again. And I look forward to that.
Me too. I agree. And you are on fire, lady. Keep winning those awards and keep following your passion, girl. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. And so are you. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Yeah.
I've seen you around and I don't know if we have met in person. Have we met in person?
Yeah, we met a couple times. Once at a Webeneck meeting. And then the other time we met when I got your book, you were at the Team Women event when you were cooking.
That's right. That's right. Forgive me for that.
No, that's okay. But yes. Tell everyone, we've been waiting to do this for months because of COVID, but I'm glad we finally got to do it. Tell everyone, where can they find you, Amalia?
I am very active on LinkedIn, as you know. And I am also active on Facebook. I'm active on Instagram, and people can find me under Amalia Moreno Damgaard. And I am in process of publishing my second book. And
Yay!
My first, so they can find more information about me and my first book and about the upcoming book. Also at my website, AmaliaLLC.com.
Awesome. And then I have to ask, so my husband did the salmon recipe. Where am I supposed to find banana leaves? I couldn't find them. Where would I go for those locally?
You can go to Cub Foods and find them there.
Oh, I didn't even try.
Yeah, so next time that you make it, go to the frozen food section of Cub Foods and look under the Latin American section. It's very small yet, but it's growing.
Cool.
But they have frozen banana leaves there.
Okay.
And the only thing you have to remember is you open the package, you leave them laying on your counter for good, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and they start thawing very quickly at room temperature, and then they become, you know, to the pliable, and then you can cut them to the desired size.
Okay. I was at Whole Foods and they didn't have them, and I would have never thought Cub Foods. So I'll have
to. Well, next time that happens to you, feel free to send me a text. Feel free to send me an email and say, hey, where do I find this ingredient?
I
can save you some time.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being on. You have dropped some tremendous value bombs for our listeners. And here's her book, her cookbook. And check her out because she's incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Cheers. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm spilling everything today.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.